Marvin Russell. Production, The Velvet Touch. Director, John Gage.
This is the Screen Director's Playhouse, one of the weekly features on NBC's All-Star Festival of Comedy, Music, Mystery, and Drama. Brought to you by the makers of Anacin for the fast relief from the pain of headache, neuritis, and neuralgia, RCA Victor, world leader in radio, first in recorded music, first in television, and by Chesterfield, always milder, better tasting, cooler smoking, plus no unpleasant aftertaste. And that's the biggest plus in cigarette history. Tonight, the Screen Director's Playhouse is pleased to present a play on murder. Our adaptation is The Velvet Touch, starring Rosalind Russell. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here is Miss Rosalind Russell.
Thank you. The place for drama, very properly, is behind the footlights. But occasionally, a story extends deeper into the theater, into the fears and fantasies of the players themselves. And then we have a vehicle to tempt any actress. We have The Velvet Touch. I count myself very fortunate to have played the role of Valerie Stanton on the screen and to repeat it again tonight. So now we present the Screen Director's Playhouse adaptation of The Velvet Touch, but first, here is Jimmy Wallington.
Thank you, Miss Russell. But before we begin, here's a word from the makers of Anacin. If you suffer from pains of headaches, neuritis, or neuralgia, you should discover what many thousands have known for years, that Anacin brings incredibly fast, effective relief. Anacin is like a doctor's prescription. That is, Anacin contains not just one, but a combination of medically proven active ingredients in easy-to-take tablet form. Probably at some time you have received an envelope containing Anacin tablets from your physician or dentist. Thousands of people have been introduced to Anacin this way. Try Anacin yourself the next time you suffer from the pains of a headache, neuritis, or neuralgia. You'll be delighted at how quickly relief can come. Anacin is spelled A-N-A-C-I-N. Your druggist has Anacin in handy boxes of 12 and 30 tablets and economical family-sized bottles of 50 and 100 for your medicine cabinet. Ask for Anacin today. Now the first act of the Screen Director's Playhouse presentation of The Velvet Touch, starring Rosalind Russell in her original role of Valerie Stanton.
It's not true. It's a play. I'm acting. Gordon's the director, my director. Gordon's dead. I killed him. Black hair on the blue rug. Gray at the temples. Red at the temples. Blood. Blood on a blue rug. The clock. Gordon's clock. Time. How can it go on? Why doesn't it stop? The blood runs over the rug from his forehead where I struck him with the statuette. Why did he have to die? I only wanted to be free to love Michael. I'll always remember this place. I'll always remember the things I'm feeling now. Gordon's office. The theater downstairs. Broadway outside. I never knew what it was like to be afraid. Street, crowds, people. The people who pay to see me on the stage.
Mr. Dunning! You in there, Mr. Dunning?
Rennie, the stage manager. What if he'd seen me crouching over Garvin's body? I'd explain. Accident. Didn't want to kill him. Why doesn't the blood stop? Red. Blue rug. I have to get out of here. Get away. Downstairs, the theater. Last night, they'll be saying goodbye, clearing the sets. I'll have to go downstairs. I'll have to act. Be calm. Valerie Stanton's finest performance. Act. Smile. Walk to the door. Open the door. No. Fingerprints. Use a handkerchief. Now. Open the door.
Put that wild wall on the truck, Mac. Easy on that mirror. And have to go back to the driving.
Nobody can see me. They're working on the stage. I'm trembling. Stop it. Stop it. Swallow. Take a breath. Leave the room behind. And Gordon. And the blood. Walk. Down the stairs. Into the lobby. Barney Soper. The janitor. He didn't see me. Sweeping the ticket stubs up at the end of the lobby. Better go back. No, no. It's too late. I'll have to go on quietly. Maybe he won't look up. I'll walk down the steps. There. Stand straight. Walk easily. The bottom of the steps. Now down the theater aisle. He doesn't see me. Nobody sees me. Everyone busy. I have to relax, play the role. Here's the door to the backstage. Dressing room just across the hall. Open the door. Oh, safe now. Nobody saw me. Nobody talked to me.
Val?
Yes?
It's Paul. May I see you a minute?
Come ahead.
I guess I've got the closing night blues. I hate saying goodbye.
Then don't say it, Paul, darling.
Oh, gorgeous. You were sensational. When will I ever get another chance to play opposite Valerie Stanton?
We'll do it again real soon.
Oh, and congratulations.
On what?
You and Gordon Dunning teaming up for another production.
Oh, thank you, Paul.
Well, I'll see you, Val.
See you. You were wonderful.
With you, who wouldn't be?
Everything normal. Everything as it should be. I have to get out of this place, mix with the crowd. Want people, lots of people, stranger, walk. Exhaust myself, walk, get out.
It's always sad, ain't it, Miss Stanton? The end of a run.
The way I feel, Ernie, you can ship me back to a prop company along with the furniture.
You? You're Broadway, Miss Stanton. The show ends.
Oh, now
but...
don't tell me that I go on forever. What a thought. But thanks, Ernie. Good night.
Good night, Miss Stanton.
What do you plan to do? Walk right over me?
Oh, Marion, I'm sorry.
This is the night of goodbyes, Valerie. Haven't you a pretty little speech for me?
Well, you know I never could have done the play without your support.
Well, in the future, you'll have to get along without me. I hope I never set foot on the same stage with you again.
Marion, I'm sorry we couldn't be friends.
The only thing I'm sorry about is what you did to Gordon Dunning.
What?
You've ruined his life. I'm going to see him once more tonight. I'm going to make one more try.
Good luck, Marion. I hope things will work out.
I know. Work out for you.
Get out. Get out now. Marion is going to Gordon's office. She'll find his body. She'll know. Everybody will know.
See, Miss Stanton?
What? Oh, here you are, Al. Good night.
Good night, Miss Stanton. Sure was wonderful.
Here's your newspaper, Miss Stanton.
Oh, thank you, Pansy. How is business tonight?
Oh, you know, actors on closing night. Everybody's generous to Pansy.
Well, here's your envelope. You'll find a little gift in it.
Say, what a surprise.
I know, you never suspected.
I'll sure have your paper waiting for you every night, Miss Stanton. When are you and Mr. Dunn starting your new play?
I don't know, Pansy. I think someone over there wants a newspaper.
Okay, mister, don't get the fidgets, I'm coming.
Now walk in the crowd. People brushing my shoulders. Oh, I wish I could feel Michael's hand. I can't ever tell him. Can't tell anybody. Gordon's dead. I hope the blood has stopped. Marion is there now in the office. Standing on the blue rug, screaming, screaming, walk, walk, walk.
It's late, Miss Stanton.
Who are you?
Captain Danbury, police.
What are you doing in my apartment?
Look, Miss Stanton, you've got a shock coming.
Indeed.
Gordon Dunning's been murdered.
There it is. Now, what is my face saying? What are my eyes doing? Easy, play the role. The velvet touch. Shock. Horror. What? I don't know...
You'd better sit down, Miss Stanton. I know it's pretty rough finding out like this, but sometimes there's a virtue in abruptness.
What happened?
Oh, I don't know. I'm tired. You know, Miss Stanton, homicide is already 3 months behind in unsolved crimes.
I know, but...
Sometimes I'm going to sleep again, I guess. The whole night.
Please tell me.
Oh, the body of Gordon Dunning was found on the floor of his office in the theater. He'd been struck on the temple with a statuette, some kind of an award for directing.
Oh, what a horrible thing. Do you know who it was? Was it robbery?
No, it wasn't robbery, Miss Stanton. And as for who did it, the police never decide that. A jury does. All we do is make our best guess.
Do you have a guess?
Yes. Yes, I do.
You'll pardon me, Captain. The phone.
Oh, yes, of course.
Hello?
Val, are you all right?
Michael. Oh, Michael, darling.
You've heard. Gordon Dunning.
Yes. A policeman is here now. Oh, Michael, I wish you were here.
I'm coming right over.
No, no. That wouldn't be best, darling.
But why not, Val?
I'll speak to the officer, then I want to rest. Absorb the shock.
You'll be all right.
Yes. And Michael?
Yes, Val.
I love you so very much.
We love each other.
Thank you, Michael. Good night, my darling.
Good night.
You look very pale, Miss Stanton.
I'm sorry.
You know, it's a strange thing about true beauty. Even the grimmest emotions enhance it. Would you mind telling me who that was?
Michael Morell, a very dear friend.
No? Did he know Dunning?
Yes.
As I said before, Miss Stanton, it's very late. Now, you left the theater long before midnight. Would you mind telling me where...
It was closing night, you see. I always take things like this a little hard. I went for a walk.
Mm-hmm. Miss Stanton, you don't look too well. I'm not here to make things worse for you. Why don't you get some sleep and we'll talk in the morning?
Thank you.
The cast and crew of the show will be at the theater at 10:30, if you could be there.
Of course, of course. It's so difficult to conceive Gordon's death.
Yes. Occupational hazard of the theater. Occasionally, violent emotions escape from the stage. Or maybe actors have to play a role, play it through to some terrible conclusion. Waiting for the applause that never comes. Well, I'll say goodnight.
And there is nothing more you can tell me how he was found?
Barney Soper, the janitor, found him. He heard screams coming from Dunning's office. He found a colleague of yours there, Marion Webster.
Marion?
You didn't get along, did you?
No.
She was lying across Dunning's body. Hysteria, shock.
Oh.
She was taken to the hospital, still in no condition to be questioned.
Do you think Marion...
Maybe. Well, I hope you get some sleep tonight. Good night, Miss Denton.
Oh, he's gone. Relax now. Now I can think. Gordon's dead. I killed him. I can't go to prison for that. No. Don't go to pieces. Hold on. You're doing all right. A good performance. The first act is over.
Now, here's a word from RCA Victor. RCA Victor now brings you highlights from Walt Disney's Alice in Wonderland in a little nipper giant storybook record album. Within the covers of this colorful storybook album are two RCA Victor non-breakable 45 RPM records. You'll hear such delightful songs as Very Good Advice, A World of My Own, and the Unbirthday Song. You'll listen to the voices of Kathy Beaumont as Alice, Ed Wynn as a Mad Hatter, Sterling Holloway as the Cheshire Cat, and many, many more. And as children listen to these records of Alice in Wonderland, they can turn the pages of this gaily colored Walt Disney storybook and follow Alice on her magic flight into fantasy. This superb little nipper giant storybook record album is available now at record dealers everywhere. Get a copy of the words and music of Walt Disney's Alice in Wonderland as soon as you can. Ask for RCA Victor's Little Nipper Giant Storybook Record Album. Here now is the second act of the Screen Director's Playhouse presentation of The Velvet Touch, starring Rosalind Russell.
Why is the night all velvet black and strung with furtive thoughts? To lie in darkness and feel a murder tingle at my fingertips. Oh, Michael, I love you. What have I done to our happiness? Sleep should sleep. My mind has to be clear. Have to act. Keep up the performance. I don't regret Gordon's death. I regret the way he died. I'm glad he's dead. How long ago was it? 2 days, the party at Gordon's house. Gordon's hands on my arm, Gordon's voice in my ear.
Don't sulk, Val. I know what's on your mind. That's why I invited Peter Gunther to the party.
I'll decide for myself about Peter and his play.
Hedda Gabler, that old chestnut.
It's one of the most important roles in the theater, Gordon, and you know it. I think I can play it and play it well.
Val, you're a comedian. I made you the greatest. Who'll pay money to see you play a tortured, neurotic woman who kills herself because she's ruined a life that was too dull for words anyway?
I'm not just a comic. I'm an actress.
And whether you like it or not, you're no good without me.
Is that all?
That, my pet, is everything. Your life and mine. Now, enjoy yourself while I see to my guests.
Stanton, what would you do for amusement if you couldn't run Gordon through the meat grinder?
Oh, just a little business argument, Marion. We laugh it all.
Don't be cute, Val. You know I'm still in love with Gordon. I don't like what you're doing to him.
Look, there's nothing personal against you.
There's everything personal against me.
I'm sorry.
You're not sorry for anything. Valerie Stanton, the toast of Broadway. There's an expression that's common enough for you. And cheap enough.
Marion, you...
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, well, I got right in your way, didn't I? Did you spill your drinks?
A little out of this glass. You can have what's left.
Now, there's a gentleman. Who are you?
Michael Morell. And your name?
Me?
Yes.
I'm Valerie Stanton.
How do you do, Miss Stanton? And what do you do?
What do I... Are you serious?
Should I know?
I'm an actress.
A good one?
Oh, for Pete's... Well, I'd say I was promising. Would you mind telling me how you got in here?
I came with Peter Gunther, a friend of mine. He's connected with some theatrical nonsense.
Most producers are. Oh, Peter, Peter, darling. Over here, dear.
Val, when are we going to have that talk? Oh, hello, Michael. Enjoying yourself?
No.
Val, Oh, Peter, what's going on here? Trying to steal my star?
Not unless the star wants to be stolen.
Oh, Gordon, may I introduce
Michael Morell, and I'll be running along. Miss Stanton, I'll see you for lunch tomorrow, 1:30, the Chatelaine, and don't be late. Good night.
And who the devil was that?
Friend of mine, and a great admirer of Val's work.
Admirer? Oh, well, he fooled me.
You're not lunching with him tomorrow?
Yes, I think so. Now, Gordon, if you don't mind, Peter and I, business, you know.
Yes, I know. I'm afraid she has some bad news for you, Peter. Tell him, darling.
Think of it, Val. Hedda Gabler, one of the most famous dramatic roles in the world. A cold, ambitious woman destroying all the world around her, and finally herself. Val, you could...
I could, Peter, and I will. I'll tell Gordon tonight.
Well, that's the last of the guests, Val. I'm glad everyone's gone, darling.
I thought we dispensed with caresses some time ago.
Don't you think you're becoming a little too smooth and sharp?
Don't strike at your own image, Gordon. You taught me to be this way.
Yes, I taught you everything. To act, to be a star, to live.
And how to do without you. I'm taking Peter Gunther's offer.
Val, for heaven's sake. I love you. We've built our lives around each other.
That part of our lives is dead.
Not for me. I'm not going to let you go.
You don't have any choice.
Then you don't know me, Val. You don't realize what you're doing.
Perhaps that works both ways, Gordon. And now, good night. The play closes the night after tomorrow. After that, we're through. Bed and room and darkness and memory. Gordon's dead. I am learning in the darkness the trade of actress. Now I know what fear is. Now I know what consequence means. I killed Gordon last night and Michael doesn't know. Michael at luncheon at the Chatelaine. I kept the appointment. Oh, waiter. May I see a menu, please?
Don't bother, Miss Stanton. I've already ordered.
Don't I have a choice?
With me, never.
You are an overbearing egotist.
Something we have in common.
Also a liar and a cheat.
Because I didn't pay homage to Valerie Stanton?
Darling, I don't know if I like you.
You like me. And would you mind not calling me darling? You toss affection around as if we were in mass production.
Oh. And you prefer individual attention, hmm?
When you start to call me darling, I'd like you to mean it.
That might take a long, long time, Mr. Morell.
Precisely what I have to invest, Miss Stanton.
Well, tell me, what do you do with the balance of your time?
Build.
What?
Buildings, a world.
Oh, an architect?
Yes, I work for the UN. You'd be interested.
Would I? Yes, I think I would.
When?
Well, there's a lovely view of lovely buildings from my terrace. Perhaps I could show it to you tonight. That night at the theater, the performance over, the dressing room mirror, the lights around the mirror, my face in the mirror, fixing my hair, anticipating my evening with Michael Morell, and Gordon sneering at me.
You played that third act as if you were a fire hose.
I'll play it faster if your friend Marion doesn't stop upstaging me.
Oh, by the way, Val, I ran into Peter Gunther this morning.
Well?
I told him it wouldn't be smart to count on you doing Hedda Gabler for him, because you'll never leave me.
Then you've only made a fool of yourself, Gordon.
No, not in the end. And incidentally, Val, I don't approve of that shade of lipstick. I should think you'd play Morell a little more subtly. Good night.
Shut that door.
The Queen commands. We're all slaves.
Oh, Marion, I didn't mean you.
Thank you.
Oh, would you mind coming in for a moment?
Yes, I do mind. What is it? I need your help, Marion.
You never needed anybody.
You loved Gordon. Once he loved you, I interrupted it. But I didn't destroy it. And now I...
Now you want to get rid of him, but you can't.
Marion, if you really love Gordon, take him away. Fast. He's sick and hurt and confused. You can help him now. I can't.
Okay. But don't change your mind, Valerie. Because once you let him go, you'll never get him back.
And there, Mr. Morell, I give you the city at night.
You know what it looks like?
What?
New York from a penthouse terrace.
Nothing more?
Nothing less.
No vivid images, no gaudy word portraits?
I'm going to kiss you, Valerie.
My guests are usually very impressed. They say... Michael. The view. Remember?
I've seen it.
And how many women have you?
For the first time in my life, I don't care. It's not important.
And for the first time in my life.
Yes, Val.
Oh, darling.
And that's the way I wanted to hear you say it.
In the night, in the darkness, thoughts of death and love, and Michael's arms forcing the chill from my life. Michael, the next evening, the last performance of the play, the dressing room again, the newspaper across the makeup table, Jeff Trent's column and a wave of anger sucking at my stomach as I read, Valerie Stanton today announced she has accepted the starring role in Gordon Dunning's new farce production. And so Peter Gunther's offer to do Hedda Gabler goes begging.
Val, what a pleasant surprise. I was just going down to your dressing
room. This newspaper story. What kind of a double-crossing squeeze play are you pulling now?
Hold it, Val. There's a little more involved here than an actress leaving her producer.
There's nothing more. I won't let you twist things the way you're always trying to...
Val, we loved each other.
No.
Now look, if it means so much to you... I'll do Hedda Gabler. We'll be together again.
It's too late for that, Gordon.
Oh. So. Now we get the truth. It's not Gunther. It's not the play. It's Michael Morell, isn't it?
I want to marry him.
How touching. And does he know what he's getting? Or shall I paint a picture for him? I'll tell him things he'll never forget, Val. And what I don't know, I'll make up. And what I can't fill in, I'll leave to his imagination.
That's enough, Gordon.
When I finish, he'll never touch you
again.
Stop it! Now, come here, Val. Be smart.
Don't you touch me.
You wanted my arms around you once.
Get you, Gordon, stop
it. I'm going to keep you if I have to tell the whole foul truth about you. Put down that statue, Val.
Keep away from me.
I'll spread your story on every front page in New York.
No, I won't. I'll... Gordon! Yes?
Good morning, Miss Stanton. This is Captain Danbury. The Gordon Dunning case?
Oh. Yes, Captain. I was sleeping.
Oh, I'm sorry to awaken you. I wanted to remind you we'll meet you at the theater at 10:30.
Yes, of course. I'll be there. I want to help in every way I can.
Here's a tip for discriminating smokers.
You see it in the newspapers. No unpleasant aftertaste. You hear it on the radio. No unpleasant aftertaste. You see it on television. No unpleasant aftertaste. when you smoke Chesterfield.
It's the biggest plus in cigarette history. Science discovered it. You can prove it. Science discovered that of all brands tested, Chesterfield, and only Chesterfield, leaves no unpleasant aftertaste.
Prove it yourself. Smoke a pack of Chesterfields. They're always milder, better tasting, cooler smoking. And Chesterfield is the cigarette that leaves no unpleasant aftertaste.
That's the biggest plus in cigarette history.
No unpleasant aftertaste.
Science discovered it. Prove it yourself. Buy Chesterfields today.
You are listening to the Screen Director's Playhouse, one of the weekly features on NBC's All-Star Festival. Brought to you by the makers of Anacin for the fast relief from the pain of headache, neuritis, and neuralgia. By RCA Victor, world leader in radio, first in recorded music, first in television. And by Chesterfield, always milder, better tasting, cooler smoking, plus no unpleasant aftertaste. And that's the biggest plus in cigarette history. The Screen Director's Playhouse presentation of The Velvet Touch, starring Rosalind Russell with Carlton Young, will continue in just a moment after a brief pause for station identification. This is the Screen Director's Playhouse. We continue with the third act of The Velvet Touch, starring Rosalind Russell in her original role of Valerie Stanton.
This is the stage of an empty theater, a place of loneliness and ghosts. Gordon Dunning's ghost is here. We've all met to gather evidence to determine who killed him. It was I who killed him. I'm getting used to that now. I'm growing used to my role of innocence.
Look, Miss Stanton. There's Captain Danbury. He's a cop.
I know, Pansy.
The captain buys my newspapers. He'll figure out who did it. 1, 2, 3.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Danbury. I work for the homicide detail. All of you connected with the show are here, with the exception of Miss Marion Webster. She's in a hospital suffering from acute shock caused in some manner by Gordon Dunning's death. And now, suppose we start. Let me see. Abbott, Mr. Ernie Abbott, please.
Yes, sir?
You are the stage manager of the production.
Yes, sir.
Would you mind telling me what you saw backstage last night after the curtain fell?
That's all I can tell you. I did my job and talked for a while to Miss Stanton in her dressing room. The only one I saw go up the center aisle toward the stairs was Marion Webster.
He didn't see me. Nobody saw me. Keep calm. But Marion, why does everyone mention Marion?
Mr. Paul Banton.
Yes, sir?
You were Miss Stanton's leading man.
That's right.
Would you tell us your story, please?
After I phoned my girl, I went to Valerie Stanton's dressing room and thanked her for everything. Then I left.
Did you see Marion Webster after the performance?
Yes. I saw her walking toward the back of the theater. She, looked angry.
Thank you, Mr. Banton. Mr. Barney Soper, janitor.
They were sweeping the lobby. I didn't see nobody come down those stairs. I saw somebody go up. Yes, sir. Marion Webster.
Well, Ziegler was sent me. Guard at the stage entrance. I collected everybody's key. Everybody's, that is, but Marion Webster's.
What's happening here? This isn't what I wanted. They're putting the guilt on Marion.
My guilt.
Why don't you ask old Pansy what happened? Marion Webster hated Gordon Dunning. Everyone on Broadway knew that. He gave her the business. That's when she was in love with him. Case of a broken heart. Yeah, a broken heart, and she bopped him on the head.
No, I can't let this go on like this. Now that Marion isn't here to defend herself. I've got to tell him, get it over with, make an end to it. Captain Danbury!
Yes, Miss Stanton.
I'm all in. Can't we break for lunch?
Oh, certainly. I think we have all we need now. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. Miss Stanton.
Yes?
Before we leave, could you spare me a moment, please?
Anything I can do, I'd be more
You're being very cooperative. Maybe we'll get this case over with fast. You know, I'd like to sleep through just one night, one whole night, you understand. You know, it's a strange thing, this business. I feel like Barney Soper, the janitor. I go around mopping up after people where they spill their emotions. It's very messy. I'm a lousy cop. You want to know why? I'm continually amazed at the good reasons people have for murder.
Captain Danbury, you wanted to talk to me?
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. I found these two letters in Gordon Dunning's desk. He wrote them last night. One of them's addressed to you, the other to Marion Webster. I thought you'd like to read yours. Here. Well, go ahead.
Val, my dear, once again I offer you my deepest gratitude for all you've done. I can only hope that our next years will be as wonderful as all the others. And that...
Don't finish it if you don't want to.
I'd rather not. The letter to Marion...
It expressed quite a different sentiment.
Valerie!
Michael!
Oh, Mr. Morrell. Well, I'll be seeing you, Miss Stanton.
Oh, Michael, hurry!
Val, I wanted to be with you.
Oh, Michael, it's horrible. When will it end?
It'll pass. We'll go on together.
Oh, how I want us to be together.
Then marry me, Val. Marry me now.
Oh, no, darling.
We'll catch a plane. Fly to...
No, Michael. I'd give anything in the world to marry you now. But I can't.
Why not?
At a time like this, the papers, the police...
It'll be over soon. Everything in the case points to one person. I heard Danbury's examination. All the witnesses, all the testimony. It all marks Marion Webster as the killer.
Don't say that, Michael.
Val.
She didn't do it. I know she didn't.
You are upset. I didn't think you cared for her.
Well, what has that got to do with it? Marion loved Gordon. She would have done anything for him. She'd rather kill herself than see him dead.
The police found her with Gordon's body. Her fingerprints were on the statuette.
Well, maybe she went there after he was killed. Maybe she found him dead.
Maybe. Look, Val, you're undergoing the gravest emotional strain of your life. There are two ways I can help you. One, marry me.
I can't, Michael. Not now.
All right, I can understand that. Two, you've got to go back to work. I'm going to phone Peter Gunther and tell him you'll do Hedda Gabler.
Is everything so simple for you, Michael?
Just as simple as one and one making two.
It's no use, Michael. I can't get the feeling of that last scene.
Do you want me to read against you, Val?
No, it's not the words. It's the emotional content. Hedda Gabler's character. I've got to understand that thoroughly.
Rehearsals don't begin for 2 days.
My rehearsals begin the minute I accept a part. What does she feel, this Hedda Gabler? A woman who's destroyed everyone who loved her. A vain, brave creature who puts a bullet through her own brain because the world's no longer fit to live in. I think, after all... Come in.
Good evening. I hope I'm not intruding.
Captain Danbury.
But of course not. We were just going over my new play.
Oh? I dropped in to see how you were, Miss Stanton. You've had quite a burden to bear.
Burden?
Yes, you know, cops get and everybody's here. You mind if I sit down?
Still tired, Captain.
Well, you know how it is. You hit a case, you ride it hard. Then there's another and another, and one day you go to sleep. And the next day they give you your pension.
And where has it all led you in this particular case? Who do you think killed Gordon Dunning?
Not Marion Webster.
Why not?
The shock she's suffering. It's not the condition of a murderess, but of a tragedy-stricken woman.
I agree, Captain. Marion might have wanted to kill me, but not Gordon.
Perhaps Gordon provided her with an excellent reason.
Well, go ahead. I'm listening.
We know she went to Dunning's office. We know she'd been in love with him, that he was through with her. That's grounds for presuming a violent row. Now, suppose Dunning had pointed a gun at her and she killed him. Self-defense.
Yes, but where was the gun, Mr. Morrell?
He used a different weapon, a more dangerous one. Words. Marion Webster was a desperate, lovesick woman. She made Dunning desperate, too, in his desire to get rid of her. He threatened her in some way, blasted whatever hope of happiness she had. In a fit of passion, Marion picked up the statuette and killed him.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Miss Stanton?
I don't think she did it.
Oh, don't bother. The phone's probably for me. Shoot. Hello? You're speaking. Oh, good, good. I'm leaving right away. Thank you. You know, Miss Stanton, it's an odd thing about Marion Webster. You're convinced of her innocence, but in her subconscious mumblings at the hospital, she seems to be convinced of your guilt.
Val, that's idiotic.
Well, you know women. Jealousies. And she's been out of her head.
Did you say she's been?
Yes, I've just been informed that she's finally come around. I'm going to talk to her.
I see.
You want me to send a message?
Yes. Tell Marion I wish her all the luck in the world. Tell her I'd like to visit her.
I'll do that. Maybe we're not so far from the end of the case. Maybe I'll get some sleep yet. Maybe we all will.
Yes, I hope so. I hope we can all rest soon again.
In 1 week, NBC and its affiliated stations broadcast thousands of different programs. News, music, drama, comedy. A world of varied entertainment and information. Who pays for it? The advertisers, naturally, you say. But does the consumer pay for it in the long run? No. And that's one of the miracles of radio. Radio reaches people much more economically than door-to-door selling or penny postcards or magazines. Reaches and sells people vastly more economically than if there were no advertising at all. Only quality products are advertised on NBC, and radio helps bring them to you at the lowest possible cost.
Marion's room. I'm standing outside Marion's room at the hospital. Why don't I touch the doorknob? I'm afraid of her. Afraid of her eyes. Why do they light hospital hallways like this at night? Small red light, small blue light. Red and blue. Red blood on a blue rug. Gordon's death will destroy us all. Open the door. Go in. Face her. Marion? Hello?
You.
How do you feel?
Why did you come here?
To see you?
You're scared.
No.
You're scared. I'll tell what we both know.
Marion!
You don't have to be frightened. My fingerprints are on the statue. They found me in the room. The police will make me the murderess.
Well, I've told Danbury, the reporters, everyone, I don't believe you did it.
How nice of you.
Marion, it wasn't murder. It wasn't. He said things, vile things. He frightened me. I didn't know what I was doing.
Get away with it. You've got the velvet touch. Everything breaks for you.
Everything breaks me in half. I'd better go, Marion.
If you weren't corrupt, if there was anything inside of you but a career, you couldn't do what you're doing.
What else can I do?
Throw yourself out that window. No. You'll go on living with yourself. God help you, Valerie.
Now get out of here.
Yes. Yes.
Yes, I'll go. What am I? What's inside me? I'll show her. I'm strong. Strong enough to face myself. Captain Danbury, I know it's late.
That's all right, Miss Stanton. Won't you have a chair?
I want to talk to you about Marion.
The Webster woman? You know, everybody wants to talk to me about something or other. They all want to tell me things. Theories, ideas. You know, people confuse me. Someday somebody is going to come in here and say something really reasonable. Like confessing to a murder. Not a crackpot, but legitimate. Then I'll begin liking people again. And go home and get some sleep. What do you want to tell me?
I...
Oh, excuse me. Danbury. When? Okay, make a report. Thank you. That was the hospital, Miss Stanton.
Marion?
She threw herself out the window. She's dead.
No. No. No, 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 no! Gordon is dead. Marion is dead. I go on. How wise. An agony of fear and guilt. I can't go on thinking like this. I've got a play to do. Act, rehearse, watch the director, watch Peter Gunther. Create a character. Show them I can do it.
Val, for heaven's sakes, wake up. That's your cue.
What? I'm sorry, Peter.
You've got to build this, Val. You can do it. Now, you cross the stage into the wings. You've gone to get the revolver. You return. Cross into the alcove. In a few seconds, you're going to kill yourself. Valerie, make that audience listen for the shot, as if it's the most terrifying sound in the world. Now, let's try it again,
no,
please.
No, I can't, Peter. I'll never feel the part, never.
Okay. Break for 10 minutes. Clear the stage. Val, what's wrong?
Peter, why does it have to be the same theater? Even the same dressing room?
I was lucky to get any theater at all.
Peter, you'd better go. I'll take care of Val.
Thanks, Michael.
Val, must actresses be temperamental?
No use, Michael. It's only 3 days to opening. I don't have any confidence. Michael, I've lost something. I'm not the same.
Do you love me, Val?
You know I do.
Then will you act for me? Not for Peter, not for the cast, not for the audience. For nobody but me.
If I could see you... If I knew you were here...
I will be here, at every rehearsal.
Darling. Oh, darling.
Now, come on. Let's show them a head of Gabbler they've never seen before.
It's coming. The old feeling, the authority, the possession. Head of Gabbler. I'm head of Gabbler now. Sending a man to his death, sending myself to destruction. What a play, what a magnificent play. 3 days, 2 days, 1 day. Make the days go. Make it opening night. Make the past disappear. Opening night.
Let me see you, darling. Ah, you don't look a bit nervous.
I'm scared to death.
You've looked forward to this night.
No, I wish it had never come. Well, we'd better get down to the theater.
I want to make some kids happy first.
What kids?
Oh, just kids, friends of mine. Autograph these pictures.
I don't even have a pen.
Well, here, use mine.
All right. Something sweet. Oh, red ink, very distinctive. Something personal. There, and There. No. Oh, Michael, I smeared it.
Here's a blotter.
Thanks.
Val, what is it?
The blue blotter. Red ink.
What of it?
It's nothing. I just remembered something. Something I don't want to remember. Oh, why can't I forget?
I'll get it, darling. Oh, Captain Danbury.
You mind if I come in?
Oh, please do, Captain. We were just leaving for the theater.
Yes, opening night. Must be quite a thrill. You know, I've got some good news for you. Might help you give a better performance.
What is it, Captain?
The Gordon Dunning case is closed.
But why?
All the evidence pointed to Marion Webster. She's dead. There's no use keeping the file open.
And everyone has been cleared?
That's right, Miss Stanton.
I'm glad it's over.
Oh. Well, then I suppose, Captain, that I won't be seeing you anymore.
Oh, I'll be seeing you. Tonight. I'll be at the theater. Good luck.
Michael. Michael.
It's through. Done with Val. We can be married.
Oh, I cannot believe
There's nothing more to worry about.
Oh, I never was really worried. It was just, well, any investigation you know is uncomfortable.
Don't be silly. You were scared stiff.
What? Michael. Why did you say that?
Well, I meant the play.
No.
Your performance.
No, you didn't.
Val, it's all over.
It isn't all over. It's just begun between you and me. You think I was frightened because...
It's late, Val.
You think I killed Gordon?
Didn't you?
It never ends, does it? It goes on and on and on.
I knew the day I asked you to marry me, and you refused.
And you still wanted me?
Val, I love you. I've lost too many things in my
Michael,
life.
Michael, a man was killed. I killed him. Doesn't that mean anything to you?
I had my own happiness to think of. My life with you.
With no thought of decency?
That's a strange word coming from you, Valerie.
Michael!
Didn't you hold your own silence, twist and turn and lie and let Marion die with the stigma of murder? If you told Danbury the truth, then you could talk to me of decency.
Yes. You're right, Michael. Somewhere we both went off the road.
Because we loved each other and wanted each other.
No. Because I'm a coward.
What good are recriminations now, Val? We've already gone beyond good and evil.
I love you, Michael. But I've acted for myself. What I'll do now, I'll do for myself, too. Please take me to the theater.
Terrific performance, Miss Stanton. Just great.
The play is not over yet, Ernie.
Three acts down, only one to go.
I want you to do something for me. You know Captain Danbury?
Sure, we all do.
Find him for me. He's out there in the audience. Find him and tell him to come backstage for the last act. He can watch it from the wings.
It's not good for her to see us at this distressing work. I'll tell you what, Mrs. Elstead, we'll work together in the evenings, eh?
I hear what you're saying, Captain.
There she is, Captain Danbury.
Yes.
This is the scene that makes her or breaks her.
Oh, I dare say, Judge...
Danbury, I saw you come backstage.
Oh, hello, Morell. Miss Stanton called me.
Why?
Blessed evening with all
I don't know,
in life.
But I can hope.
Here she comes now for the pistol.
Captain Danbury, take this note, please.
It's a wonderful performance, Miss Stanton.
Give me the gun, Ernie. I'm sorry, Michael.
You know the play, Captain? Real big ending. She kills herself. Oh, I hope I'm not spoiling it for you.
Shut up. Captain Danbury, I killed Gordon Dunning. Valerie Stanton. Danbury, that pistol, she's going into the curtained alcove.
What's the matter? It's loaded with blanks.
Who loaded it?
She did.
Shot herself. Shot herself in the temple. Good God, people don't do such things.
Curtain calls, everyone.
Val, please come out. Come out of that alcove. She had the guts to write the note. She'll come out. Well, here she comes.
Michael, You understand?
I understand, darling.
Well, Captain Danbury, I'm ready.
Take another bow, Miss Stanton. You've earned it.
Thank you, Rosalind Russell, for a wonderful performance. Our star will return in just a moment. You know, the human voice is a marvelous instrument. Words on paper, cold words, have only as much color, as much power, as the individual reader gets out of them. But take these same words and have them spoken. Put them in the mouth of a Winston Churchill, and they come rumbling and roaring to life. Yes, whether you're selling ideas or products, people sell better than paper. Advertisers realize this. It's why they pay the price of 30 minutes on a radio network for the privilege of speaking to you for a total of only 3 minutes about their products. They reach you in other ways, too, in magazines and newspapers, for instance. But they know that only on network radio can they reach so many so intimately. And because the advertiser benefits through the privilege of speaking to you in your own home, you benefit by the hundreds of hours of top-flight entertainment each week on radio. Next week, the Screen Director's Playhouse presents another great motion picture story. Our adaptation is Mother is a Freshman, starring Loretta Young and William Lundigan. And now here again is tonight's star, Rosalind Russell.
Ladies and gentlemen, I don't quite know how an actress makes a grateful bow with her voice, but that's what I'm trying to do now. And offer my thanks to Jack Gage, the director of The Velvet Touch. Jack couldn't be with us tonight, but to represent the Screen Directors Guild, here is one of his next-door neighbors at RKO, the very excellent director of They Live By Night, A Woman's Secret, and Knock on Any Door, Mr. Nicholas Ray.
Thank you, Roz, and the Screen Directors Guild has only one fault to find with The Velvet Touch.
Well, one's not bad. What is it?
We frown on actresses who murder their directors. Nothing personal, just self-preservation.
Don't you worry, Nick. We're very much in favor of keeping our directors strong, healthy, and happy. That's our own form of self-preservation. Without them, whew, what a horrible thought.
Well, Gordon Dunning in the story was more of a producer than director, anyway.
Oh, the producer of the picture was terrified by the whole thing.
Why? All he had in it was money.
I know. That's why the producer was terrified.
Who was the producer, Roz?
I was.
Well, then you had nothing to worry about. With a star like Roz Russell, who could go wrong?
Oh, thank you.
Good night, Roz.
Good night. Thank you, Nick. Good night. Good night, everyone.
The Velvet Touch was presented through the courtesy of RKO, distributors of the Howard Hughes presentation, His Kind of Woman. Starring together for the first time, Robert Mitchum and Jane Russell. Rosalind Russell will soon be seen in the new comedy, Never Wave at a Whack. Nicholas Ray's current production for RKO is Flying Leathernecks in Technicolor, starring John Wayne and Robert Ryan. Included in tonight's cast were Carlton Young, Joan Banks, Bill Conrad, Martha Wentworth, Stan Waxman, Paul Dubov, Herb Vigran, and Dan Riss. The Velvet Touch was adapted for radio by Richard Allen Simmons. Screen Director's Playhouse is under the production supervision of Howard Wiley and directed by Bill Karn. This is Jimmy Wallington speaking and inviting you to listen again next week when the Screen Director's Playhouse presents Mother is a Freshman, starring Loretta Young and William Lundigan.
Monday through Friday, hear Life Can Be Beautiful on NBC.